Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will conclude our investigation for the name or the attribute of Allah being Al-Mudil, Allah the one who leads people astray. So let us begin our study by investigating that which is written in Quran chapter 31 in the first 6 verses. For Allah stated, Alif, Lam, Mim, these are obviously 3 letters. No one knows what they mean. It's just verse 1. These are the verses of the wise book. Now we're going to learn about the wise book, the Quran, where we learn about the wisdom of Allah, guidance and mercy to the doers of good. Notice, the Quran now is the guidance, and the Quran is the one which brings mercy on the doers of good. Obviously, those are the good Muslims, the believers who believe in Allah and in Muhammad. As we continue to prove that in verse 4, those who perform the prayer and bring the legal alms, and they are certain of the hereafter. What is the mark of the one who receives the guidance and the mercy of Allah? It's very simple. They are the ones who do good, who perform prayers, and who bring the legal alms, the zakat. That is the giving of money to the mosque to be used for whatever the needs of the nation of Islam. And they also know for sure of the hereafter. That is, there is life after death. Continuing in verse 5. Those are on guidance from their Lord, and those are the prosperous. So that's how we know how Allah guides some people to the straight way, to Islam. The guidance of Allah on those people makes them prosperous, makes them the one who performs the prayer and gives the legal alms, makes them do good deeds. That is, obviously, the will of Allah on those whom He wants to spend eternity in paradise. Now, let's look at the second portion of that passage, which is concerning those who have been led astray. Notice, as we have shared with you before in many of our previous broadcasts, that it is Allah who leads some people astray. And we also discovered in our last broadcast that actually Satan leads people astray, as well as people lead themselves astray. And here is another example for people leading themselves astray. As we read in verse 6, and some of the people who purchase fun talk to lead astray from the way of Allah without knowledge, and they take it as scoff, those will have a shameful torment. So some people did what? They purchased fun talk to lead astray from the way of Allah. How can you purchase fun talk? I read the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, and he gave us so many interpretations to that phrase. So, for example, he said that is the people who sing or listen to the music, or those who involve in shirk, that is to worship other gods with Allah, or just in general, the people who talk for fun. And I'm not going to waste my time and your time to give you all the details of each of these interpretations. But the final word is this. Music is forbidden in Islam. And singing is forbidden in Islam. Simply because Allah made that statement in the Quran. You cannot purchase fun talk to lead astray from the way of Allah. Now, when Allah stated without knowledge, Al-Tabari interpreted that phrase by stating that they buy the fun talk with ignorance of what's in it concerning the punishment which will come out after getting that fun talk. So they did not know that the punishment is great and the evil of doing such a thing is great. So obviously, people who listen to singing or sing with those who sing are committing that sin without knowledge. When you hear such claims by so-called Muslim scholars, you may think that Muslims are living such holy lives that even just to listen to somebody singing, or if you are singing, you're committing great sin. When in reality, the life of Islam is immoral life. Think about what else is good in the life of a Muslim believer. There's nothing can be practiced in Islam to bring any holiness. You mean, if I kill a Christian or a Jew, is good? Yes. But if I listen to a song, that's not good? Yes. If I steal the money of the Jews or the Christian, it's good? Yes. But if I listen to a song or I sing or maybe hum a song, that is sin? Yes. If I rape a Jewish or a Christian lady, that is right? Yes. But if I just have some nice talk with some jokes or some fun to laugh, that is sin? Yes. And I can go on and on and on about the life of the Muslim within Islamic law. You see it, it is all immoral. Muslims do not see anything wrong when they are in their 40s or in their 50s to be married to an 8-9 years old child. But they also believe it is forbidden, it is haram, it is sin to listen to a music. What a great oxymoron way of living. And now I have to bring you back to the important foundation for the true understanding of Islam concerning those who will be led astray and those who will be guided. Once again, that man who listens to the music or sings a song or has fun talk, or even those who worship other gods with Allah, which I don't believe have anything to do with that verse. Those people, when they committed these sins against Allah, it was committed by the will of Allah, because once again, nothing a man can think of or say or do except it is ordained already by Allah way, 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 way back before Adam had his own first child. This is the reality of the teaching of the Quran concerning Allah who leads people astray. So in simple words, if I'm listening to a music or I am singing some song, it is simply because Allah wanted me to do so. I personally do not believe there's anything wrong in singing. There's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with clean jokes where people can have fun and laugh. But in Islam, you're not supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to be joyful, because surely Allah does not love the rejoicing one. This is the foundation of Islam. Don't you dare laugh. Don't you dare have good time with any music, because that goes against the will of Allah. You may think I'm just making this up. No, my friends. Here is the word of Allah concerning having fun or laughing. You see, in Quran chapter 28 and verse 76, we read, surely Qarun was one of Moses' people, so he rebelled against them. We gave to him the treasures, what surely its keys would have burdened a strong, substantial company. Meaning, he was super, super rich, that the keys to lock the locks on his treasures were so much, were so heavy, and people have a hard time to carry them. Then Allah said, when his people said to him, do not rejoice, surely Allah does not love the rejoicing. That is the verse, that is the foundation from which Muslim believers believe to laugh or to rejoice, it is to live in sin. Because simply Allah stated in his word in the Quran, Allah does not love the rejoicing. So let's all be sad, let's all cry, let's all be mad and angry, and let's all become good Muslim jihadi to kill and to destroy and to steal, and that will please Allah. But to laugh or to rejoice, that is not acceptable in Islam. So in the long run, please do not listen to music, and for sure do not sing, because if you do so, you are sinning against Allah. And by doing so, you'll be led astray and you will spend eternity in hell. This is not my words. This is the word of Allah. As Allah stated in Quran chapter 31 and verse 6, those will have a shameful torment. When Allah talks about a shameful torment, Allah is talking about eternity in hell. That is exactly the punishment for those who sing or listen to music or songs.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightwave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on to another very important problem we have in the Quran. That is the word zuyina in the Arabic language, which in English is adorn. When you make something look beautiful, when in reality it is not beautiful. Notice that that verb is written in the Quran 70 times. Amazingly, some of these verses where we read the word adorn belongs to Allah and the others belong to Satan, the devil. And that itself is a big problem. Why? Because now we do not see any differences between the acts of Allah and the acts of Satan according to the teaching of the Quran. So, I will not waste my time and your time to share all these verses, but let me give you an example. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 6, verses 43 and verse 108. Let me first read to you Quran chapter 6 and verse 43. For there we read, so, were it not that when our torment came to them, they implored, but their hearts were hardened, and Satan beautified or adorned, for the same word zuyina, to them what they were doing. What did Satan do? Satan made their evil work look beautiful. So people were committing sin, but in reality, they were not aware that what they're doing is wrong because whatever they were doing looked good. Why? Because Satan adorned or beautified whatever they were doing. So there is a big role of deception here as we see Satan causes people to do what is wrong, and in their heart and in their mind, they thought they're doing the right thing because that is the great work of the devil. Well, let us go to chapter 6 and verse 108. For there we read, and do not curse those who call rather than Allah, so they wrongfully will curse Allah without knowledge. Likewise, we, notice here, we here is Allah, adorn or beautified. It is the same verb in the Arabic language, zuyina, to every nation their work, then to their Lord their return. So he, that is Allah, will inform them of what they were doing. The work of beautifying or adorning whatever the nation was doing was not done here in that verse, that is Quran chapter 6 and verse 108, by the devil, but by Allah himself. So whatever the people were doing, they were doing it with deception, because the more they do the wrong thing, Allah made it beautiful and it looks good, when in reality it was evil work. These are all the nations of the world, those who did not obviously believe in Allah. This is a problem because the Quran does not differentiate between Allah and Satan. in the tricking of the people to adorn or beautify their evil work to look good. And that is exactly what we see also in Quran chapter 35 and verse 8. For that is the verse which I would like to share with you to show you that it is the work of Allah with the devil in unity together. Allah and Satan work together to cause people to go astray, to adorn or beautify their evil work. Satan beautifies the work of the people when they were doing the wrong thing, and Allah used that to mislead the people and lead them astray. And here is what is written in Quran chapter 35 and verse 8. Will he whose evil deed is adorned to him, so he saw it as good. So surely Allah leads astray whom he wills and guides whom he wills. So do not grieve your soul in regret for them. Surely Allah knows what they do. Amazingly, Allah knows what they do because in reality, Allah makes them do what they do with the work of Satan or without the work of Satan as we see it throughout the Quran. Here in Quran chapter 35 and verse 8, Allah is telling us about the work of the devil who beautifies the disobedience of the people and the infidelity of the people to Allah and how they worship the other God and they saw it to be beautiful. Why? Because Satan beautifies their work, their worship to the false gods and make them believe that it is good. And Allah here is speaking to Muhammad and say, don't regret it. Don't get upset over it. Why? Because this is my work. I am using the devil's work, which is to beautify the worship of these false gods, to lead these people astray. This is exactly what Allah said. Allah leads astray whom he wills and guides whom he wills. That is exactly the ultimate sorrowful conclusion we can bring out of the Quran. Yes, Allah leads people astray. Yes, Satan leads people astray. Yes, people lead other people astray. But here in Quran chapter 35 verse 8, Allah is working in unity with the devil to lead people astray. For what reason? For the simple reason which we talked about earlier in our study when we began to investigate the name of Allah or the attribute of Allah, Al-Mudil, the one who leads people astray. It is all about filling hell with people, those who Satan seduced and caused them to follow him. And the bottom line is that Allah in Islam is so powerful. He is so big. He is so strong. He knows everything. And in his will and in his desire is to fill hell. That's why he allowed the devil to lead people astray. And that's why he himself leads people astray. And he and the devil and those wicked people will cause other people to go astray. That the word of Allah, which he said to the devil way long time ago, that he will surely fill hell with human and jinn, will be fulfilled. And this study can go on and on and on to learn about Allah, the one who leads people astray. But we will conclude it here by just mentioning to you the rest of the verses of the Quran from which we learn about Allah who leads people astray. If it is by himself or using the devil or using people to accomplish his will for leading other people astray. That is Quran chapter 38 verse 26. That is Quran chapter 39 verse 8 and verse 23 and verse 36 and verse 41. Quran chapter 40 verse 33 and verse 34 and verse 74. Quran chapter 42 verse 44 and verse 46. Quran chapter 47 verse 4. Quran chapter 71 verse 27. Quran chapter 74 verse 31. This is a huge problem for Muslims who believe that Allah is God. I'm sorry. Allah is not God. According to that one prescription for who Allah is Al-Mudil, the one who leads people astray for the hope and the purpose to fill hell with them. That's not my God. That's not the God of the Bible. And I wonder why Muslims do not believe that God is a loving God. And he has shown us his love, not just in words, but in action. That is when he sent his son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for the sin of the world. It is not just we made a problem for creating the fall for ourselves by sinning against God, but it is God reaching out to us, God seeking us. God wants to reconcile us back to him. And that is the same which you see throughout the Bible. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God did not ignore them. God did not just send them to eternity in hell, but God sought them. He searched for them. He started communicating with them. And the end of the story is that God showed his mercy and his grace to Adam and Eve. That is when he offered the first sacrifice using the skin of that animal to cover their nakedness. And my friends, that act of God seeking the lost continued to be shown throughout the pages of the Bible, one account after another. Finally, in the end, 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill all the prophecies which were written throughout the Old Testament about the Savior, the one who will bring forgiveness for the sin of the world through his own blood. This is the true God of the Bible. He's not here to lead us astray, but to bring us to a relationship with him. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.